It's good to be in the house of the Lord. My wife and Miss Weaver is over there in the baby's nursery and having a good time. Make sure you turn the TV on, Kathy, and hear your husband now. I'm glad the Lord helped Robert through that marathon. All of you that prayed for him, he did a great job. He had a good first marathon. And so maybe I'll be able to join him on the next one. We'll see. But it's good to be in God's house. Thanksgiving is upon us. It's here, isn't it? And so we do have a lot to be thankful for. You can never thank him enough. And everything, give thanks, right? Before we get in the lesson, why don't we go to Psalm 92? And then maybe we'll just have a few of you give thanks. You can remain seated while we look at Psalm 92. I read it this morning, and it's just good. It's all good. Psalm 92. Let me read it for you, and then maybe a few thanksgivings. Have something on your heart that you want to thank the Lord for. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. He's been good to us, hasn't he, church? He brought us to church today, and his loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works! Exclamation mark. And thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth he a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We need that as Christians, don't we? The touch of the Lord. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I love palm trees, as you see. It costs a lot of money to trim those palm trees out there. There's 10 of them, I think. But I love palm trees because they're a symbol of victory. When Jesus came riding in on the donkey, they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were saying, here cometh the victory. And we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I like palm trees. Being from Florida, there's a lot of palm trees. It's amazing how those palm trees through a hurricane can still stay standing. And they don't really have that big a root system, do they? And so I love palm trees. It says here, the righteous, verse 12, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I love cedar wood, too. It's a good wood. Those that be planted in the house, look at this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. We'll be working on that, won't we? At Thanksgiving. They shall be fat and flourishing to show the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise God. Let's have a few Thanksgiving. You want to give thanks today? Anybody in the house? Brother Leo? This is a thankful man right here. Amen. He's a thankful man. Okay. He's still working on you? Amen. I'm getting happy just listening to Brother Leo. It's a thankful person. Thank you, Leo. Anybody else want to thank the Lord? Anybody? Okay, Brother Jackson. Yeah. Electric cars. Okay. After the prayer, my dad went through a lot of that. You know, being 92, just passed away. He was in assisted living here and assisted living back in Florida. And he drove just like that on that little cart. Man, he'll tear the door frame out. And just like my dad, you know, he didn't mean to, but he did the best he could. But you know what? God took care of my dad all through that. Gave him plenty of good food to eat and a nice place to stay. And yeah, my dad was all fixed up. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Whew. Keep on thanking him. Yes, sir. And that's what we're going to be talking about in Sunday school. We need to get to it. One more, maybe, and then we'll get right into the lesson. You'll be finding the book of Acts, chapter 2. You'll be finding that. Anybody else want to thank the Lord? Okay, Melinda. Oh, Melinda, what a blessing. I appreciate that testimony. It's a good testimony. I met with the Holders yesterday, my wife and I, and we finally got with them. Our appointment was at 10:30, and I hate to be late. Boy, do I hate to be late. But we got talking to Brian and David, and I left here about 10 after. Hey, good to see you, Olivia, Oliver. I left here about 10 after 10. Supposed to be there at 10:30. Come to find out, they're in the neighborhood. We're all neighbors, you know. I said, whether we go forward or anything with this visit, the Bible says you're supposed to love your neighbor, so you got to love me and I got to love you. But we had such a wonderful visit. I finally got there. The GPS went crazy, and I ended up on their street but 3 miles away. Wrong number. And then my wife actually sent her a text at, you know, when we first left at about 10 after. I knew we were going to be late because I know how far it is after we figured out kind of the area they were going to live that they were living in. And so the GPS went crazy, and my wife tried to text her. She put the wrong number, one wrong number. And so we got there about 40 minutes late. And boy, I think my blood pressure wasn't doing too good. But, you know, we had a great visit. Their dog just went to sleep on us. And they had some nice cats and everything. But just a nice family. And I'm looking forward to getting to know them a little more. So for those of you that don't know, it's Heather Holder, right? She is the mother of Alexis and Trevor. Of course, they just, you know, tied the knot out there at their house. And then Melinda is great friends with Heather and Matthew, right? So I'm just so thankful for these families. Okay, if you're in Acts chapter 2, let's talk about the church, because this question came up yesterday when I was meeting with the Holders. Acts chapter 2, if you're able to stand, and we'll look at verse 41. Acts chapter 2, 41. And then if you have that, if you'll just find the book of Matthew 28, because we'll be heading over there.
Just ask the Lord to help us.
Hopefully you'll get something in your heart today. Matthew 2, 41, the Bible says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the salvation that you give, Jesus, and for our church. Lord, help us to be planted in your local church. Lord, as long as we're here on this earth, Lord, that we may behold your beauty. And I thank you for the house of God. Thank you for these dear ones that made it to Sunday school. Be with Denise especially, and Gary as they're in California, and others that are traveling for the holidays. Lord, I pray you'd be with them. Give them safety, and those that are sick. I pray for a very special help with Leon Sigler, Lord, and his family, Joe and Angela, and her sisters, Lord, as you prepare for this funeral, Lord. Thank you for the testimony of Shirley Sigler. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice in Acts the progression there in 2:41, and they that gladly, they were ready, gladly received. So you might underline or write these down if you're taking notes. Received, baptized, added. Received, baptized, added. And so added to the church, right? So church membership, how does that happen? Well, it says, and they added unto the church. Even in Acts 2:47, if you look there. Acts 2:47. Brother Jackson, can you read that? Well, I'm going to stay over here in Matthew, but read Acts 2:41 again, Brother Jackson, then read verse 47 if you can for me. Right. So you see they're added again. Now the question would come up, is there any clear, direct verse that says, or you're commanded to join a church? Actually, that came up yesterday with our meeting with the holders. And in principle, it surely is. It's connected. So go back to Matthew chapter 28 and look at verse 18. I'll read 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. These are the words of Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what the church is supposed to do. There's missions. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, it's a command to be baptized after you're saved, right? Salvation first, then you follow the Lord in baptism. It's like baptism doesn't save you, doesn't wash your sins away, but baptism shows that you are saved. It's in, you're buried in the likeness of his death, raised to the in the likeness of his resurrection, or to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 tells us. So if the Lord's way, the Bible way, is to add people to the church after they're saved and baptized, and really that's the only two qualifications. That's it in the Bible. How do I join the church? I'll tell them. I told Melinda this and Robert the other day. I said, there's only two, and that's, you need to be saved by grace through faith. You have to be born again, right? And then you need to be scripturally baptized. And that's with a lot of water. Not to sprinkle, not to pour. I was telling Heather this yesterday. And it might have been special, but that's not biblical. Scriptural baptism. Every time in the Bible you find baptism, Acts chapter 8, they went down into the water and came out rejoicing. There was much water when they baptized. And so the word baptize means to immerse or to plunge. And so it shows forth what Jesus did. You know, his death, our sins are buried in the likeness of his death. And so... yeah, it's a gospel there. Now, if you've been saved and baptized, and the Lord's led you to this church, then you can become a member. That is, if you're not under any church discipline from another church, or you just can go out and kill somebody, right? And then you come over here. But you can get these things right, right? You can get things right. If you've not been baptized, we can help you with that. If you've not been saved, we can help you with that. Joshua, you got saved and you got baptized last week. And it was beautiful. But sometimes people come by letter of recommendation, if you will. People write the church and say this person is desiring to unite with us in membership, and they've already been saved, they've already been baptized, and if they have a good testimony, then you can recommend them. But that doesn't depend on what the pastor wants to do. He can do whatever he wants to do. But if you're saved and if you're baptized. Now, what if I ask a person, have you been saved? And they say, I've been saved. I said, well, have you got baptized? And they say, yeah, I was baptized, but it was so long ago. I don't even remember the church that I was baptized in. Or I had one lady, she said, I was saved, and she told me when she got saved, I was baptized. Well, what's the name of the church you were baptized in? She said, the church burnt down. There's no longer a church building there. And so, you know, what is common, you take people into the membership by statement of faith. They say, I've been saved, I've been baptized, but I don't know, you know, when that was or exact times. But the two scriptural ways is salvation and baptism. Now, what's the definition of a church? It's a called out assembly of baptized believers for the purpose of evangelization. The word ecclesia, we're continuing from last week, means called out assembly. So Hebrews 25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. A question is, why do I have to go to church? Well, Jesus said, he said, forsake not the assembly. So we need to go. If you want to obey the Lord, then you need to assemble at a church. Now, is the church, we talked about this last week, is the church the building and the stones and the brick and the carpet and the pews or the tile? No. If you just have a lot of that, you can have a pile of that without having a church, right? You need a called out assembly of saved, particular people, saved people, baptized for the purpose of spreading the gospel. You know, God could have, after we got saved, he could have just took us home to heaven. But he left us here. Why? So we could send the light, propagate the gospel, tell other people who are coming in, this is what you, tell people like Joshua, you need to be saved, Joshua, and others. And we do that a lot around here, don't we? Tell people the gospel. What you need is not a pill. You need the gospel. You need the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need Jesus as your Savior. Amen. And he wants to be that. And then you need to get in church. Why? Why do you need a church home? Give me a few answers. Why do you need a church home? Well, he commanded that you assemble yourselves, but give me a couple. Okay. Guidance. You do need guidance, don't you? We all need it. Okay. That's good. Anybody else? Why do you need a church home? Yes, and that's a big one. I told Matthew yesterday, I said, it's the pastor's responsibility to feed the flock of God. If you don't eat all week, you're going to get weak. If you don't eat at all, you will eventually die. I can pretty much tell you that. Well, as a Christian, you need to feed. You need to learn. You need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's one reason we come into the church house. But you need guidance. You need, we come in. Hey, here, there's so many things we could stop right here and finish. But you come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. And the house of Lord, the Bible, we give you the truth out of the Word of God. But there is protection. There is there's so much that the church offers. We're going to have communion here pretty soon, and there's only two ordinances. And you're commanded to be baptized. You're commanded, and by the way, after you get saved, that's a one-time thing. After you get baptized scripturally, you don't have to do that anymore. And then there's another ordinance. It's called communion or the Lord's Supper. And if you don't have a church, you don't need to be just taking it from anywhere. You need to do it from a local church. And then there's so many blessings. There's blessings that come from being in a church. Now the church, well, you should love it. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You should support it. You should assemble yourselves. You should join it. Well, where's the verse? I showed you where he says, lo, I have commanded you. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. By the way, when you follow the Lord in baptism, have I said it? I'll say it again, Miss Hattie. Baptism cannot wash your sins away, cannot save you. But when you follow the Lord in baptism after salvation, you'll have a smile on your face. You'll be grateful. Then they that gladly received his word, were baptized. And then the Lord added them to the church. So although it doesn't say thou shalt join a church, it's right there in principle. And so we should all join a church. How many was in the early church there in the book of Acts? By the way, they were all in accord, right? And they were going for the Lord, but it was 120, right? There was different numbers, the Bible says. Okay, what does that signify? There's 120. They must have had a roll, Leo. They were counting the roll. Okay, the Lord adds to the church. Then they went from 120 to 130. I don't know. But so, and then sometimes people are taken away. But the Lord adds to the church. Who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 25. Now he has a pastor and deacons. There's only two offices, by the way. Pastor and deacon, we'll see that in a minute. But Ephesians 5, 23 and 24. Ephesians 5, 23 and 24. And if you don't have a Bible, stick around. We'll buy you a Bible. We get you a Bible if you'll let us, if you don't beat me to the punch. Ephesians 5, 23 and 24. Are you there? Say amen. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See? As Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Go to Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 18. I love this verse. It's really how churches ought to go, how they ought to function. Putting Jesus first. In Colossians 1:18, just a little bit to the right of where you were. And he, talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence, first place. Okay, back up to Philippians. Ephesians. Philippians, so back up to the left. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians, I love the book of Philippians. Verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the what? Bishops and deacons, pastors and deacons. There's only two offices and there's only two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so the term bishop, elder, and pastor are used interchangeably in the New Testament. I do love the word pastor, if you're a member of this church. And that's what I told the holders. I keep going back because the visit was fresh on my heart. I think it was Matthew said, well, why do I need a church? Why do I need? I said, you need a pastor. You need a pastor praying for you. And pastor needs you praying for him. Amen. We all need to pray one for another. But you need a shepherd. And that word pastor primarily means shepherd. Shepherd. I love that. So what's a good thing to call me? Call me your pastor. And just don't call me late for lunch. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you for calling me pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's correct. Right, right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jackson. Thank you so much. Go over to Psalm 111 and verse 9. Thank you for that. I'll pay you later, but I didn't tell you to say it. Amen. Psalm, no, don't apologize. I appreciate it. It was good. But don't call me the Reverend. Hello, Reverend. Now, I know some people do that in different circles. And I'm not going to be mad at you, AJ, if you call me Reverend. But I don't want to be called that. I'd rather just be called Pastor. But some people will call you Reverend. And I heard that old statement, brothers and sisters, the right Reverend is the wrong one. Now, why don't we call people reverend? You're supposed to. Psalms 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto the people, his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and what? Holy and reverend is his name. Who's he talking about? There's only one. Amen. God Almighty. Don't call me Father. Go back to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew 23, 9. God gets all the glory. I want to just say that. To God be the glory. Matthew 23, verse 9. Don't call me Reverend. Don't call me Father. Matthew 23, verse 9. Why, Pastor? Woe unto you, scribes. This is Jesus speaking, and Pharisees. Hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint. Is that the one I'm looking for? I don't know. No, that's not it. 23:9. I'm at 23:23. Notice how pastor jumped right over there to tithing. Amen. 23:9. And call no man your what? Upon the earth. For one is your which is in. Now a lot of circles and ecclesiastical places they call Father so-and-so. Father so-and-so. Father Abraham. And maybe sons. But no, just call him pastor. I think it's best you don't call whatever church you're in, okay, wherever you go. I don't think it's just good to go up and the preacher and say, hey, Mike, hey, Greg. I don't think you ought to call the preacher by his first name. Why? You teach your children when they address those in places of esteem or authority. You don't teach them, your kids to go up to their teacher and just call them by their first name. You wouldn't go up to the president, hey, what's up, Donald? You know, whatever. Showing respect, not so much for the man when you call him pastor or whatever. You're showing respect for the office of the pastor for his work's sake. But I never did go up to my dad and say, "Hey, Nick, what's up?" I called him my dad. Okay, we got about 7 minutes. What is the responsibility of the preacher? Well, to love the flock, love the church. I mean, protect them, love them, pray for them. When my phone rang at 3:00 in the morning, Leon, who we prayed for so long, brothers and sisters, to be saved, his dear wife, Shirley, who passed, prayed for his soul. And finally it came that Leon got saved, and he was a changed man. And, you know, he's got hope. But he called his pastor at 3 in the morning. And I'm so glad he did. He needed a pastor. You can't, that person on television, telepastor, televangelist, they're not going to show up. I appreciate what some said the other day. You know, they went into church and they saw screens. And the man came on, pastor came on. But it's just something good about a pastor being here, okay, in a church and showing up. people need a pastor. And let's see here. My job is to feed the flock of God and to do it willingly, not grudgingly. It's not about money. Okay, my associate pastor makes double what I make, and I don't care. I'm thankful that I get to pastor. He didn't want it. He didn't want the money. Wasn't something, okay, I'll take this job. No, it's not a job, it's a calling. And his gifts and callings are without repentance. I do this for free. I tell people all along, I get to preach and teach for free. It's all the other stuff that you pay a preacher for. But, you know, it's just a joy to love your flock and to pray over your flock. And God... In Acts, go to Acts real quick. Man, I'm going to run out of time. There's no way. Acts 20. You know, 20, 28 and 29. Take heed. Here's a pastor's job. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. 28. Talking about the preacher. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own what? Blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 days I cease not to warn. That's part of a pastor's job, to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was getting ready to leave Paul on his missionary journeys, and he was warning them. I remember going to Guam, preaching a missions conference, and my daughter and my son and my son-in-law and Caleb was already born right when I went over there. It was Christian that was born. Is that correct? I went over there for Christian. It was a church in Guam, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And had a wonderful time visiting my family, just dodging the snakes. If you go to Guam and you hate snakes, you be ready. You be ready. But the missionary that was pastor of that church, I believe his name was J.R. Seth, I was getting ready to go off for several months, and his message that he spoke in Sunday school that last Sunday, he said, I want to warn you. He was going to do some of the Lord's business. And he used that passage right there, church, in Acts chapter 20. And it wasn't long after that. It happened just like that. He was gone. Larry was a deacon. And, well, it was not good. It ended in a bad way because people want to get away from the Word of God. Grievous wolves came in looking out for themselves and all of that. And so it came to pass. It came to fruition just like that pastor, that missionary, J. Arseth, said. And so hopefully we just stick with the Word of God. I read in Proverbs 23 this morning. How many of you read your Proverb 23? There you go. Remove not the old landmark. Amen. That your fathers have set. You know, he says over in Hebrews 13, you're to obey them that have the rule over you, and salute them and remember them. But we'll go to one more verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, I think. And you folks do this. I'm preaching to the choir. But since I am on the church, talking about the church here, 1 Thessalonians 5. I don't care which church you go to, where you may be 10 years from now, always respect the preacher and the pastor. Always do that. And I'll say one last thing about that. Always hold the pastor's wife in high esteem. Amen. They go through things that nobody knows of. And where would we pastors be without a pastor's wife? Amen. Praying, helping, serving. They are in everything, every area of ministry. Are you in 1 Thessalonians 5? 5 verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you, as an oversight, in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their sake. Is that what it says? That's correct. Not their sake, but their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. What should you do? As a member of a church, if you need a pastor, you should call him. Can I get a witness right there? Yeah, you should call him, just like Leon did at 3 in the morning. You need prayer. You need something like that. may have to splash some cold water on my face, but, you know, it'd be a joy. But don't speak evil of him. Pray for your pastor, and let's all be at peace among ourselves. If you do not have a church home, let's stand together. We'd love to help you with that. If God led you to this place, everybody needs 3 homes. I've told you that. I keep telling you that. I guess till my dying day, Cisco, everybody needs 3 homes. They need a heavenly home. They need a place to hang their hat. And you need a church home, right? You need a church home. And so we're grateful for you and thankful that you showed up. Make sure you get by and shake some hands and tell people you're glad they're here today. We're sure glad for Miss Mary Weaver's son right here. Thank God for him. We love you. Father, bless in the service to come. We're so thankful for John 3:16, Lord, we'll be looking at. And I'm thankful for your love, Lord. I'm thankful for your favor and your hand of blessing upon this place. Lord, you're the head of it. And you're in charge. And so, Lord, help us as we all serve you and look for that glorious day, that some golden daybreak when you'll split the sky and the trumpet will sound. And we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet you in the air. Thank you for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. I plead the blood over our service to come. And may you keep your hand on each one of these precious folks. In Jesus' name, amen.